So what can two single women do in Ukraine in the midst of all the corruption and societal decay?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I have been saying something all week, and I'm going to say it again today. This is not just another radio broadcast. This is the voice of a worldwide gospel movement. As I speak to you on the air now, we have Fire grads, we have workers, missionaries, part of our Fire family, not just people we support, but people who are part of our family, people who sat under us and were taught and trained and sent out in the field. As I speak to you on the radio, they are around the world doing amazing things for the Lord, doing things that we've never done, stepping out in faith. Older couples, single men, single women, big young families out there making a difference. I want to encourage you. You can make a difference in your world. So you will be stirred. You will be encouraged. And perhaps you'll be challenged as well. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. In a moment, I'm going to introduce another special guest, another one of our frontline heroes, a Fire missionary serving in Ukraine. Some of you may not know where that is or know much about it, but you will in a little while. If you have a question for me or my guest, and we'll be going from Ukraine, then England, and back to Mexico in the midst of drug cartels, and then some amazing stories about God working very deep in the soul and life of people all in the next 2 hours. But here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And if any point during the broadcast you want to stand with us, sow into the work we're doing, help us with your gift. The number to call is 1-800-278-9978. In fact, I'm doing something very special where we're going to sow generously on our end to make a difference as well. 1-800-278-9978. Okay. Before we get back to our missions focus, which has been all day yesterday, today, and tomorrow as well, I just want to make a few brief comments about the elections. And you can vent, weigh in, challenge me, ask questions on Friday or all of next week, okay? But I just want to say a few things first. Number one, I urge you again, in the midst of all of the controversies, in the midst of all of the passion about the elections, keep your passion first and foremost devoted to Jesus as Lord. And remember that the changes that we want to see in America will not come primarily from the White House, but from awakening in the church. Yes, this is a very important election, but far more important is what happens in the body. That's one thing. Second thing, do not fall into the racism charges. There were plenty of whites who voted for Barack Obama because they believed in him or they were not happy with George Bush. There are plenty of whites that will not vote for him now because they're not happy with him or because they prefer Mitt Romney. Don't let someone trap you in the race debate because that is not the issue. Yeah, you got racists on every side, but that is not the issue. Also, there's an article that Franklin Graham wrote as to why it's fine to vote for a Mormon. You can read it on charismanews.com. And right now, and just click on opinion, charismanews.com, click on opinion. Right next to that is an article that I wrote responding to a CNN writer who claimed that President Obama was a religious pioneer. And I said he's more religious apostate than religious pioneer. You can read those articles on charismanews.com. But this morning, I spoke at the chapel service for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and spent some time with the chief of staff there. I want to clarify something. When the Graham organization removed a paragraph about Mormonism being a cult from the website, they did not remove that and leave all the other stuff about the other cults up there. There's nothing about the other cults. That was never their purpose to have their website dealing with the cults. That was removed simply because someone happened to spot it. When they spot it, it's like, what's this doing here? We don't have stuff about other cults. They've not changed their views about Mormonism. Haven't changed them at all. Dispel that myth, friends.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
For years, I've been wanting to do this, and we're finally able to set it up. This is during our 13th annual missions conference. We've just concluded that. Most of our missionaries are heading back out of town, but thankfully some are still here with us and are able to join us on the air. Friends, we are absolutely dead serious about the Great Commission. Not just seeing awakening in America, but seeing the gospel go to the nations and go to the Jewish people. We live for that. We breathe it. And when folks come to our ministry school, even though we don't intentionally have a strong missions emphasis, in other words, we don't intentionally say from day one we want you on the mission field, so many catch that fire and have been serving on the mission field. And these are spiritual sons and daughters that are really heroes of ours. If you have a question for my missionary guest, number to call 866-348-7884. I'm thrilled to be joined by Lee Ann Peterson, serving with Amanda in Ukraine. Leanne, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire.
It's good to be here.
All right, just get a little closer to the mic there.
Okay.
All right, great. Leanne, you graduated from our school in 2002.
Correct.
When you came there, what was your intent? Why did you join us?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to be a missionary. Growing up, I always grew up in the church, but my ideas of missions was just teaching English overseas. And the Holy Spirit touched my life when I was 18. And after that, I knew there was so much more. And the Holy Spirit just really brought me to the website for the school. Mm-hmm. And that's how I found out about it. And I was just gripped. It was like, you have to go there. And when I went to the school, that's when like God gave me even more of a burden for the nations and to preach Jesus.
Now you're a single woman, right?
Yes.
Now you're serving with another single woman.
Correct.
We had some older single women yesterday. We've had couples. We've had single men. Do you feel that God can work through a yielded vessel, or do you have to be a male? And
no.
I mean, obviously, forgive my dumb setup question. All right, Ukraine. How in the world did you end up there?
It was not my plan. It was God's plan. I had plans on going to Africa, but as I did the school, I had to finish a three-month internship, and my opportunity was to go to Ukraine. That was one of the choices. I wanted to go anywhere in the world except Russian-speaking nations. I wasn't interested.
You know, it's funny. Alice, who was on with us yesterday, she said, Lord, I'll go anywhere except Africa or India. So she's been in Tanzania and Africa. Why didn't you want to go to Russian-speaking countries?
I don't know. It just seemed like culture in different nations was so much more interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
I never told God, no, I won't go. I said, I'll follow you anywhere. But it just, he knew me, and I knew if he put that in my heart at that time, I probably would have gone. And God would have said, go back. And I would have said, no. And so he was just good to me. And he didn't put it in my heart until I got there.
All right. Now, Ukraine was part of the former Soviet Union.
Yes.
And it's an independent nation today.
Yes.
How many people in Ukraine?
There's about 48 million.
48 million people. Does it still have the marks of communism and atheism?
Yes, there are. I mean, we don't encounter too many true communist atheists anymore. Ukraine is an Orthodox Christian nation, Russian Orthodox. So many of them claim to be believers, like 70%, but that means they go to church maybe on Easter.
Mm.
And they're going because they believe they need their food blessed
really?
By the priest. That's
okay.
It.
Okay, so it's just basically a dead outward religion
yes.
for most of the people. What are the marks, though, of communism and atheism on the country?
The marks are, communism really affected the family units because there's such a high divorce rate there. People don't value family units. They don't value their children, especially children with special needs. They are abandoned all the time. And
really?
The places where they put them, they don't even leave them in the city. It's outside of the city because they don't even want to see the people with special needs because
really?
It's a stain on society.
When you say the divorce rate is high, what do you mean by that?
High, it's, I read the statistics that it's 86%.
86%?
Yeah.
I mean, it's mind-boggling.
It is.
And we were talking just before going on the air about abortions. I've heard it from other friends who've worked in the former Soviet Union. But what have you heard anecdotally, just talking to people that you've known?
Well, abortion in Ukraine, I mean, that's one of their main forms of birth control. It's starting to change, but many women have had 9, 10, 11 abortions, and that's normal.
And you know some of these women are saved now, and that's yes. what happened before they were saved.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, these are staggering statistics, but these are not statistics. These are human lives.
Yes.
The babies killed in the womb. And then what kind of mark does it have on the women that have had so many abortions?
There are so many broken women. But, I mean, Ukraine as a whole, there's just this sense of hopelessness. And
yeah.
alcoholism is high. And I think all these things are to hide those pains, you know, from doing things like that, from all the abortions and the lack of the family. That's what's come in.
Yeah, friends of mine that have ministered in Ukraine, been missionaries there, Russia, would talk about just kind of that hopelessness or the depression.
Right.
So you're an eyewitness to this. You go there for an internship for 3 months. What was it that gripped your heart that brought you back there?
We do a lot of work with local pastors in Ukraine, and they're planting churches in these villages where there's never been a church, at least not in 100 years since communism. And to meet these little old women, babushkas, dadushkas, who have worked hard their entire lives, and their eyes are just so empty and so hopeless. And you sit down and pray with them, and you see them find out for the first time that someone has loved them this whole time, that they were important to someone, because before that, they just felt like a number in a machine. They didn't know that they themselves mattered to anyone, and just seeing hope in Jesus come to them.
So God grips your hearts with these people. I mean, this is just tremendously powerful stuff. The human need out there is staggering, and we hear from it constantly because you're all around the world,
right,
and feeding back to us and sharing these things. So I've been overseas 130 plus trips, but the vast majority of human need around the world I've still not been exposed to. So you see these things, you get gripped, you go back. How long have you been in Ukraine now?
It's been 9.5 years.
9.5 years, and you're just in your early 30s now.
Right, I'm 31.
31. All right, so you went over as a very young single woman. Is it kind of a dangerous, chaotic place to live?
When you don't understand the culture, it does seem that way. But now that I've been there, it's like home, and I'm never worried or concerned anymore.
But what about the corruption, though? You're telling me about a political leader firing all the mayors across the country and trying to deal with it. When I think of Ukraine, I think of these two boxers, famous heavyweight champs, Vladimir and Vitali Klitschko.
Right.
And one of them, Vitali, is running for political office, and he talks about all the corruption in the country, wanting to change it. But what would it be like, especially in the past? You're driving down the street, police stop you. What could they do?
I mean, they'll threaten you. They say, we want to take away your passport, your documents. And you say, I didn't do anything wrong. And they say, well, I need money in my hand. But I mean, the corruption's not just in the police, it's in everything. If you want to go to the hospital there, you need to bring a bribe to the doctor. He's not going to care. He's not going to give you his good care.
You're serious?
I'm serious.
All right. I mean, I don't doubt you, and I hear these things, but it's still so jarring. What about if you're in a hospital in Ukraine? Do they provide all the food and all that for you?
No. You have to know someone that's going to bring you food. Because, I mean, it's socialist medicine, so the doctor visiting you is free, but if you need any medicine, if you need bandages, you have to bring all that with you. I had to take someone once to the emergency room there, and as we're waiting for the one doctor, there's all these people, and there's a woman bleeding out on this stretcher, and she finally let her in. Her friend runs to this little pharmacy and comes back with arms full of bandages, because the doctor's not going to do anything until she brings them herself, because she bought them.
Extraordinary. Yeah, we had another friend in the hospital, and they said how the family had to bring them food. Because they don't feed them in the hospital. Just trying to paint a picture of this, but you're over there now. You're serving with your friend Amanda, about the same age as you, been there all these years with you. There's something in particular that's really gripped your heart. So what is it that God's called you to focus on?
Well, my call has changed in the years that I've been there. I really started out working with a lot of the children, and I still do that. We go to the orphans. We're trying to reach them with the gospel because, I mean, they've never heard anything from the Bible. So it's like, you know, the story of Adam and Eve or Noah and the Ark. None of them have even heard the simple basics. And so we're trying to reach them with, you know, the love of Jesus, because when they leave the orphanage at 15, 16 years old, they're on their own. I mean, there's people that kind of watch over them, but so many of them get lost. Boys get into crime and girls get into the sex slave trade and all this stuff. And it's like, it's a vulnerable age. We have to reach them before they get out. But then it's also just seeing all that need in the villages and knowing that all these hopeless people are just waiting for Jesus's love, just waiting to know that they're important to someone. So
it's it's as if we're looking at, say, a plague and people are dying like flies, and the vaccine, or say the antidote, is available.
Right.
And there's abundant supply of it. Someone just has to go and bring it.
Right.
And because there aren't people to bring it, they're dying like flies. Right. That's what's happening spiritually. All right, Leanne, we come back. I just want to talk a little bit more about the orphans, the epidemic of that, the living conditions that they're exposed to, some of what you've done with them, and then more recently, what the Lord's been stirring your heart with. So we'll be back with Leanne Peterson to find out what our missionaries are doing around the world. Go to fire-international.org. That's fire-international.org. Hey, get to know my family, will you?
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are continuing with our very special missions emphasis week. I dare say a unique week in broadcasting. I don't know too many others that have the privilege of saying, hey, this is part of our spiritual family, spiritual sons and daughters, grads from our school, who are out on the field bearing incredible fruit for the Lord, but you're hearing it to stir your own heart and to expand your own vision. I trust you're being blessed. We've gotten some great comments from listeners thus far. We appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. We've got a few more minutes with Leanne Peterson together with her friend and colleague Amanda ministering in Ukraine. Leanne, we were talking about 86% divorce rate, rampant abortion. I mean, mind-boggling levels right. of this, the alcoholism, the depression, the breakdown of the family. So is the problem of orphans bigger there than, say, in America? Is there, I don't know statistically so much, but give me a feel for it.
I mean, in Ukraine, there are many, I mean, there's many orphanages, but there's also many boarding schools. So, I mean, even kids that have a family, they're still being stuck in these institutions. They say there's about 200,000 orphans, and then there's at least that many more that are in these boarding schools. And, I mean, they say about 15% are true orphans with no family connections at all. Most of them are social orphans, and that's true to their parents have drug addiction, alcoholism, they're in prison, or they've been taken away because of abuse situations.
So, really? And what kind of conditions do these orphans live in? You've been in them for years working right. with the kids. What are the conditions like?
I mean, thankfully in Ukraine, the kids normally have food. They maybe have holes in their shoes and things like that. We're always helping out because there's always a need. Like, we need shoes, or we need toothpaste, or we need school supplies, because the government gives them funds, but there's never enough funds. I know further east, I have friends that have been in Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan, and there's like four kids in a bed. So at least in Ukraine, most kids at least have their own bed in the orphanage, but it's a really rough situation.
And what happens when you bring the good news to them?
They are just, first of all, they're just excited that someone is there that cares about them, because their teachers, I mean, their dorm moms, they're not there hugging them and loving them. And it's just like, when they get that, they're not used to that there's mm-hmm. someone that wants to pick them up in their arms and just spend time with them and play with them. They're just so desperate for love and attention. So they, when we tell them they have a heavenly father who's always been with them and always loved them, they just eat that up because their hearts are so hungry for it.
Yeah, how incredible. And obviously, who's going to visit orphans in an orphanage in an out-of-the-way place, especially right. special needs kid, unless right. they have some special love motivation. You've been doing that, working on that, but now, in addition, God's given you some new assignments. So tell us what you're currently doing.
Well, there's one pastor that the Lord has really connected us with, and it's out in a village, and he's kind of the head over one state. He has 18 daughter churches under him. He's only 30 years old. He was a former drug addict, and God saved him and radically, you know, sent him out to be a missionary to his own nation. And with him, I just believe, like, we're going to see a lot more miracles and a lot more healings, because I've been there 9.5 years, but God's been doing a lot of work in me too. And I know the calling I have is greater, to see more evangelism and just to see this nation stirred, this spirit of depression, the spirit of hopelessness really broken off of the Ukraine. I mean, they had Christian roots along, you know, it was in the past. And I believe that everything that was planted there, we're going to see God bring fruit because of it. There are just people desperate for the truth in the Ukraine. And so I believe God's sending me out. We're going to, you know, to the streets. He's already bringing people that want to work with me and just go out and, you know, in the marketplace, wherever we go, just bring Jesus to everywhere, to everyone around us.
And Leanne, I'm thrilled to hear your heart and knowing all the obstacles to overcome in foreign countries. Many people last a few months and that's it. They can't take it any longer. And you've been a pioneer, been faithful to the calling, overcome these obstacles. I'm sure you've lived often hand to mouth.
Yeah.
And God's been faithful to you. But I've asked this of our other missionaries that have been on the air with us. Take a minute and speak to our listeners in America that may not be called overseas, but speak to them.
The thing about the body of Christ is that we are a body, and we all have different parts to play, and not one part is greater than the other. But wherever you are, whatever God gives to you, just do it with all of your heart, because, you know, we can't all go, but those that are called need to go. And, you know, we need people to pray for us. We need people to support those, you know, support the orphans in the Ukraine by supporting us. You know, you're helping bring the gospel to them. But wherever you are, in your town, in your job, in your family, you are the light. You are the salt, you know, because before you were walking with Christ, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. It's not, you were hopeless. You were, you know, nothing alive in you. And when Jesus came, he gave you life and life abundantly. And however you can, shine that light around you, whether it's simply praying with someone at work. I mean, just step out in a little bit of boldness, because God can do great things through you wherever you are.
Yeah, he can. Leanne, well said, and you are living it out. You know, friends, it's been our privilege through our ministry over the years to sow tens of thousands of dollars into our missionaries. It's one of our great privileges and honors to do that. But I just want to have a heart-to-heart talk with you. All right, give me your best year just for a minute, will you? I want to sow something into you as my way of saying, hey, I'm throwing myself in here. We really need a massive increase in our support so that we can continue to do what we're doing on radio and help fund so many more works around the world, first and foremost with our grads that are out on the field. But I need to hear from you. Here's what I want to do. My book, one of the most special things I can sow is my new book, The Real Kosher Jesus. I'm talking about the hardcover version, and I'm talking about a signed copy. It's normally $25 plus postage, and that's not a signed copy. So we'll sign these to you or to whoever you want to send it to. It's normally $25 plus postage. Your gift of any size at all, I just want to get you involved with what we're doing around the world. Your gift of any size, I will send you a free signed copy of The Real Kosher Jesus, the hardcover version signed. I don't think I've ever done this before. In fact, I'm quite sure I haven't. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. We decided to do this shortly before the broadcast because I said I need to stir people to get involved and give. And in particular, if you're not called to go to Ukraine, if you're not called to go to Africa or to go to India or to go to outlying parts of Mexico, one thing you can do is support those who are in the field and support us in this work where through radio we're raising up and stirring more to get on the mission field. And then through the funds that come in, we're sponsoring more missionaries. So I want to sow, I hope, hundreds and hundreds of copies of The Real Kosher Jesus as my ministry gift, sowing into our missionaries. But I need your help to do it. So call right now. We don't even have this on the website. 1-800-278-9978. Can I ask you to do that? Your gift of any size, 1-800-278-9978. And again, you'll get a signed hardcover copy of The Real Kosher Jesus as my gift of appreciation to you for standing with us here in America and around the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I'm just having a blast here. These have been the most enjoyable, easiest broadcasts I think I've ever done, as we are on our third day of Missions Emphasis Week. I'm not really into missions. Well, are you into Jesus? Do you have a heart for the Lord? Do you care about what he cares about? He cares about this world. And his last words to his disciples were words of commission. It wasn't a suggestion. It was the Great Commission. We are here. Boil it down. Let's make it real easy. We are here to be disciples and to make disciples. We are here to know God and make him known. That's why we are here. Everything else is secondary to that. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. We just had an awesome half hour with Leanne Peterson, one of our missionaries in Ukraine. And I'm now joined by Steve Christner, together with his wife Glenda and family. They've also served in Ukraine for a number of years, but they are basically officially kicked out of the nation and on their way to serve in England, doing street outreach and other work among unreached people or lost people in England. Hey, Steve, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. Thank you.
Steve, you and Glenda have been married how long?
We've been married 10 years in January.
10 years. How many kids do you have?
We have three.
Three kids. And your oldest is how old?
She's 9 years old.
Yeah, I was talking to her at the service that fired the other day. What a sweetheart. She recently felt called to be a missionary. Tell me what she felt before that and what happened to her.
Well, most of her life she's just loved animals, and she's just been wanting to be a veterinarian. And she'd ask me if that's okay, and I told her just love Jesus and be a veterinarian. That's okay, you know. And but after being at the conference and just meeting everybody and hearing the testimonies from all the missionaries, she just wants to be a missionary now. And she was given a shirt that said "Shake the Nations, Change the World." When she opened that gift up from the church, she started crying and she said, "That's what I want to do, Daddy. I want to shake the nations. I want to change the world."
9 years old.
9 years old.
"Daddy, I want to shake the nations. I want to change the world." Come on. All right, Steve, how long have you and Glenda been on the mission field?
I was on the mission field starting in 2000, and I was there for about a year, and came back, met Glenda. She had just finished Bible school, and then right after we got married, we left for the mission field. It's been about 9 years.
Amazing. Like, and you came to our school. We were in Pensacola. How did that experience shape, impact your life? How has it contributed to you being on the field?
Well, I was just sharing with somebody else just that, I had been to a Bible school before, and it was a good Bible school. It wasn't bad or anything, but just there wasn't just such a focus on academics. There is a focus on academics, but there was a focus on character, about living out this life for Jesus, and it just really changed my life. I mean, it gave me a foundation for what's real, what's right to go after. So
how did you end up in Ukraine? We were just painting a picture of it, part of the former Soviet Union. What, 46? What's the population?
To be honest, I don't even remember.
Yeah, I think Leanne said 46 million people. I was focused more on the staggering stats about 86% divorce and women commonly having 9 or 10 abortions, and the problem with orphans and alcoholism and hopelessness, depression. A lot of people don't know about Ukraine. Just take 30 seconds. How did you end up there?
Well, I didn't know anything about Ukraine either. I was raised Mennonite, and I didn't know much geography, I guess, or something. Didn't pay attention real well. And I was...
No indictment on Mennonite education.
No, not at all.
Right,
not
just didn't all. Pay attention. I was not big in geography either. But tell you what, let me break here.
Okay.
Want to find out how you got there, but then you've had some adventures.
Yeah.
You've got some stories to tell. When we come back, I want to hear some of your stories.
Okay.
They're all true, not exaggerated. You're going to hear them first, right here on the Line of Fire.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest, happily married, been on the mission field almost from the beginning of marriage, now with three kids on the field. And one thing, Steve, you always got that smile on your face. And I asked Leanne, our last guest, I said, when you're with Steve, when you're in Ukraine together, is he smiling like that? She said, yeah, he is. Is it just that you're a happy person, or is God giving you joy?
Well, I mean, when I was growing up, I wore a smile on the outside, but inside I was just dying, and I was suicidal. And after I got saved when I was 13, God really changed that, and it's just joy in my heart, just knowing that God's just got everything in His hands, and it's all going to work out.
So. Yeah, you've had to hold on to that over the years. All right, so real quick, how did you and your family get to Ukraine, and I want to hear some stories, some adventures.
Well, I was at a church in Sopchoppy, Florida, with Keith Collins. And
by the way, there is, friends, I've been there. There is such a place. Those of you in New York, like Sopchoppy, Florida. Yeah, there is such a place as Sopchoppy, Florida, with many fine believers there. But go ahead.
And they were doing a canned food drive for orphans in Ukraine. And I asked somebody about it, and they told me. And I said, well, why doesn't somebody go and grow the food for the children? And they said, well, nobody will do that. And I said, I will. And I didn't mean to say it, but it was just like it jumped out at me. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to back away from it, but the Holy Spirit, you know, just said, no, you will. So I went and bought a one-way ticket after I had graduated school. And
you really did that? You bought a one-way ticket?
Yeah, and I didn't look on the map because I was afraid of where it might be. I thought it would be in Africa because I wanted to be in Africa. And
well, this is so funny. Leanne just sat here and said she wanted to be in Africa, and God called it to Ukraine. We had one of our missionaries from Africa yesterday, Alice, who's in her 60s now. She said, Lord, anywhere but India or Africa, because I don't think I could make it there. God calls her to Africa. So you are called to Ukraine, but you don't even know where it is.
No, didn't know where it was.
Okay, hang on. And you buy a one-way ticket to Ukraine, and you still don't know where it is on the map?
I told all the churches that were supporting me, I'm going to Ukraine, Africa. Nobody told me anything differently. So
no, wait a minute. Somehow I didn't hear this part of your story. You told them I'm going to Ukraine, Africa?
Yeah.
And they, okay, wow. I guess the Americans were not so big on geography. Maybe they're just, so when the people were white and not black, were you surprised when you got off the plane?
I thought, I don't know God. I haven't heard from God. I don't know anything that's going on. And it wasn't until the second week that I was there that the Lord really confirmed, no, this is the place that I've called you to. So,
but seriously, when you got there, you were expecting to be in Africa?
Yeah.
Wow. this is high-tech missions planning. One-way ticket, did you have adequate support to live there?
Not in the beginning, but it came, you know, later.
Okay, so you get off the plane and you don't see jungles or trees or lions or whatever. Not that you're going to see them everywhere in Africa, but you see you're now in Eastern Europe, basically. Yeah. Okay, you're there a couple weeks now. You realize you're supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. And I guess you realize they weren't speaking Swahili. They were speaking
right.
Russian or Ukrainian. And now you've been there, got married, came back there. I guess you started off with quite an adventure.
Yeah.
But it's been an adventure since you've been there. I want to hear some of these stories, but real quick, what were the main things that you did in Ukraine before you got kicked out?
We primarily would raise up teams from the local churches to go into orphanages. In our city, nobody did that. Nobody went into the orphanages. And they told us it can't be done. And so we'd raise up teams and we'd go in. And my wife worked in a baby orphanage, 0 to 4 years old, 246 kids. Only four of the kids, their parents were dead. The other 242 were given up with a note of rejection at birth.
Oh.
And then I worked with 6 to 16-year-old kids doing kind of a sidewalk Sunday school type thing and tutoring and things like that.
So. I guess these kids really got your heart over the years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and most of the people there are fatherless. I mean, so we'd take in 20-year-olds and just disciple them in our home. And these were orphans as well. And pastors were orphans. So just teaching them how to have a father's heart rather than just being a leader. And so that's basically what we've been a part of.
What a ministry. And what a need. Leanne was talking about just the effects of communism and atheism and the destruction of the family and the worth of a human being and life and how that got trashed and destroyed. And a lot of people in the West don't understand it. They just think, well, the communist system didn't work economically, but it's a lot deeper than that.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me about one of your adventures there. So, I mean, I'm already still just stunned about the Ukraine-Africa part. Again, I just somehow, if you've shared that, I missed that in the past. But the adventure starts with the one-way ticket. Now you're back with your wife. But tell me some real-life things that have happened with you where you had to step out in faith or almost got in big trouble.
Well, I guess there's after we've been kicked out before and we got back into the country.
And why'd they kick you out?
It's hard to say. In a corrupt country, it's hard to tell.
If you don't pay a bribe, you get kicked out.
Yeah, if you don't pay a bribe. I mean, they started cracking down on Christians. In our city, it was a military town, so they were closed until 10 years ago. They began to open the city. Even Ukrainians couldn't get into the city. So
really?
It's very much tight control. And so if you begin to teach people free thinking, if you begin to, we're working with orphans that touches the mafia, which touches the KGB, or I guess they call it the SBU now. You know, you could be in trouble for that. It just kind of depends.
Why would they be upset if you're ministering to orphans?
The mafia has got its hand in orphans in Ukraine, and they sweep, they kind of harvest the orphans for their... what do you call it? Their organs to sell to the West in the black market? They,
well, all right, right. Hang on.
At least this is what I've been,
Right now, I don't doubt that. So, one of my friends, one of our grads, missionary in Mexico to the Native Indians there, mm-hmm. in really outlying places. He said when they come driving in one of their trucks for the first time, they all run because mm-hmm. they think it's a white man coming in to capture them, and to harvest their organs.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't surprise me in the least, the ruthlessness of human beings. So you've heard that, mafia doing this. What else are they looking to do with these kids?
Prostitution's a major thing, human trafficking and drug running. I mean, when kids go to graduate, they say, Papa, what do we do? I mean, we graduate next year, and we're afraid, we're going to be harvested. So,
got it. Wow. All right. So. For whatever reason that they came after you, got kicked out first mm-hmm. time, then what happened? What's part of the story that followed?
Well, I mean, we're sitting in a government office and they're telling us that, you're gone today. You're being kicked out today. And we said, for how long? And they said, well, for at least 6 months. And we said, well, we've got a building team coming in to help us build. At that moment, the mayor of the city calls this official that were in his office and he says, give them whatever they need.
The mayor?
The mayor does. And
had you paid him off?
We didn't even know the mayor. We don't know how the mayor knew us. It wasn't like our ministry was that big or anything. He had just heard about us through other officials and wanted us in the city. So they gave us a voluntary deportation of 3 months and asked if it worked within our time frame of when we had to be gone and the other team would be coming.
They asked you?
Yeah, if it would be okay. And... another time I was driving a car out and every 2 months you have to take a foreign vehicle out and then you bring it back in. And as we were coming back in, they stopped us and they found something wrong with the car. They thought it was wrong. They held us for 7.5 hours. They told me they were going to put me in jail for 6 months.
You're with your family at this point?
It was just with my cousin and with two of our friends that were Ukrainian.
Okay.
And Glenda stayed home with the kids.
All right.
And... it really was, I was afraid. I mean, I thought, my goodness, I won't see my family. Who knows what's going to happen?
They really easily could do that kind of thing, and you knew it. It was not just talk, and you didn't have a bribe to pay them off.
And so finally it came down to, we realized something's wrong. They're not taking us into jail. It's been several hours. We're sitting at the border. And so we began to ask God, Lord, what is it you want us to do here at this border? And we felt like we were supposed to go to the official, the top official, and just say, can I pray for you? Is there something you need prayer for? And we did. And he said, how much money would I have to give you? And because they're used to the Russian Orthodox that you have to pay.
You're gonna bless the children or pray a prayer for them. You've got to pay the priest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want your kielbasa prayed for, if you want your prostitutes prayed for, you got to pay the priest. So I said nothing. I said, I just know you have a hard job. I just want to pray for you. And he gathered around his guys and we prayed for them. And they just thanked us. And then they wrote up a letter asking, can you forgive us?
Are you serious?
Yes. Can you forgive us? So
unbelievable. And they sent you on your way.
Yeah.
Friends, that's the gospel. That's what happens when you step out and go for it. All right, the adventure with Steve and his family continues. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got a few more minutes with another of our spiritual sons who's also one of our heroes out on the front lines with his family, serving for years in Ukraine until he was kicked out of the country. We've got other grads that are still able to serve there, but this family got kicked out. And Steve, why didn't you, having been kicked out of Ukraine, you served there 9 years, you raised your family there, you put in your time. Why not just come back to the States and have a nice career, nice family? There's no sin in doing that. Enjoy the blessing of America. Get your kids a good American education. Many people enjoy that. It's good. Why didn't you do that? Why are you now on your way to another part of Europe?
Well, I mean, yeah, we would love to see our families. We'd love to, you know, be with the people here, and it's such a blessing. But we feel like such fish out of water. I mean, God's really just opened up our heart and expanded it for the nations and across Europe, Ukraine, England. Now our hearts just burn for the place. I mean, just, I don't know. It's like having your first child and you can't imagine loving the second child as much as you love this first one. And then the second one comes along and God just expands your heart so greatly. And, you know, America's just not our home anymore. It's, you know, Our home's in God, and wherever he's going with us, that's where we want to be.
All right. Now, I want to help you with something, though, okay? you're going to a place called Crewe.
Uh-huh.
All right. It's in England.
Yeah.
England is not in Africa.
That's right.
All right, you know that, right? You know your way around Europe now, so it's not Crewe, Africa, or England in Africa. Okay, you got that down. Okay, good. We had on the air earlier in the week, Phil Howell.
Yeah.
He and his wife Emma leading the work there in Crewe.
Yeah.
And again, he was in church ministry and working with his father-in-law and could have had a good ministry career, but God really led him to reach the down and outers and the folks on the street and the alcoholics in the pubs, and has raised up a church with that. And that's where you and your family are going to be working.
Yeah.
Have you gotten your feet wet doing things? I know you're just working on visas and getting over there early next year, but have you gotten your feet wet with actual ministry there so far?
Well, not officially, and not anything we're allowed to admit to, I guess.
Okay, got it. Right, all clear.
but they are an amazing couple. Their work that they're doing, the heart that they have, the love that is in that church is just amazing, and it's been wonderful to be a part of that group, and we look forward to working with them very much. So
tell me, Steve, you work with these orphans, and I guess you had to learn some Russian or Ukrainian.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now you're gonna have English speakers, be a little easier.
Yeah.
Well, the accent can be interesting sometimes. What makes your heart beat, Steve?
You mean for England or for at all?
Yeah, just when you're going over there and you think of it and really who you are, what makes your heart beat? Talk to me about that.
Well, I mean, just when I was 13 years old and I asked Jesus into my heart, I said, anything, I'll do anything for you. Just don't send me to the mission field or make me a preacher. And, of course, God just changed my heart around and just gave me such a love for people, just a love. You know, I used to hate. I used to be bitter. I used to be violent and suicidal. I hated myself. I hated others. And I just can't imagine another human being suffering in sin, suffering in hell suffering without God, like I did before.
How
I
come
asked
you
Jesus
were in so
heart.
Much pain as a 13-year-old and younger?
My parents got divorced when I was 6 years old or five, 6 years old, and just walked with a lot of rejection. I was in witchcraft at an early age. Just,
wow.
Just really felt like God hated me. I'd tell everybody else about Jesus. I went to church, told everybody else about Jesus. Everybody thought I was a Christian. But I really believed I could not receive the mercy of God myself. And it wasn't until I was 13, God just took the blinders off my eyes. And I saw how much God loved me and cared about me. And his heart was for me. And I just wanted everybody else to know that too, you know. So
that's what you're burned for now. People without the Lord, people hurting that don't have to be. And Steve, I want to encourage folks to be praying for you and Glenda and the kids, because a number of things have to fall in place. We believe that the Lord's given you an open door to serve and minister there in England. Friends, go to fire-international.org. Find out more about our missionaries. Look at their faces. Some we can't post their pictures or the country they're in or the city that they're in because of the dangerous nature of places where they serve. Some have had their lives threatened. One of our missionaries has given his life this year. And amazingly, after losing one of our missionaries to Muslim terrorists early this year, the rest of the team, not his widow, who's back in the States, but serving the Lord, going on with Jesus without regrets, but the rest of the team, they're heading back into the Muslim world. In fact, they're back right now, some of them, and they are determined to see the seed of the gospel multiply. So, Steve, we bless you and grateful for your service on the field. And friends, I want to make a direct appeal. If you appreciate this broadcast, if you believe me and know me to be an honest and straightforward person, no hype, no gimmicks here, I want to make a direct appeal to you. We really need your support. This is a genuine appeal in the midst of genuine need. We need your help to be on the air and to continue to support our missionaries around the world. I decided I'm going to sow what I can into you, which is a hardcover version of The Real Kosher Jesus. It's a $25 book. We alone have the hardcover version. We've published it ourselves through Frontline Publishing. They printed it, I should say, especially for us. The hardcover version sells for $25 plus postage. I will sign the copy to you or to anyone you asked it to be signed for your gift of any size. I just want to push us forward this week and see some real breakthroughs in our finances and in our missions work. And I don't want to urge you. You're not out there going through what these families are going through. You're not fleeing for your life like one of our workers in China yesterday shared. You're not uprooting your family and putting them in a foreign place and having to trust God for food and provision on a weekly basis. We're here in America. You may be going through a tough time, but trust me, for most all of us, it's a lot easier here than around the rest of the world. So you can make a difference, not only speak through me to hundreds of thousands or millions through this radio broadcast, but you can speak through our missionaries on the field. So your gift of any size, stand with us, get involved, pick up the phone and call 1-800-278-9978. Without any shame or hesitation, I urge you to stand with us, 1-800-278-9978. Become a torchbearer, become a monthly supporter. This will be my gift to you for your first month's gifts. Again, a signed copy of the hardcover version of The Real Kosher Jesus, 1-800-278-9978. Don't say I don't have a lot to give, because your gift of any size will make a difference, and I'll still send you the book as my gift to you. That's what I'm sowing in to the broadcast and to our missionaries this week. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, there are many hurting people. Many lost people, some right in your home, others right down the block, and they simply need someone to bring them the message of the love and goodness of God, a message of hope. Share what has been freely shared with you. What in the world is an American couple in their 50s doing in the midst of a drug-infested, violent area of Mexico?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, friends, we've got plenty of time to talk about the elections before a week from this coming Tuesday. We can talk about it some on Friday, but we've got more important stuff to talk about this week, namely the Great Commission, namely God's heart for the nations, namely Jesus changing us so we go and change our world. That's what Jesus' revolution is to us. And this radio broadcast, friends, as I've been telling you all week, is not just another radio broadcast, but it is the voice of a worldwide gospel movement. We've had a special missions emphasis week. We've gotten some great reports from listeners as to how your own hearts are being stirred, and they're going to be stirred for this next hour. Whatever you've missed so far, go to the website, askdrbrown.org, and click on The Line of Fire. You can listen to all the programs from the week. They've been archived so far. The last hour has been wonderful. This hour is going to be wonderful as well. Call a friend. Encourage them to tune in. Text them if you're driving. Don't text and drive at the same time. But let them know this is a great time to tune in. If you have a question specifically for our guests, and I've taken almost no calls this whole week because I'm just focusing on our guests, but we might take some, 866-348-7884. I am joined by a precious couple who has become part of our Fire family little differently. Everyone we've had on so far with us this week has graduated from our ministry school, but you're actually the parents of a grad and the in-laws of a grad. And I'm talking with
Terry David
and
Karen David.
All right. Terry and Karen have been serving in Mexico for how many years now?
13.
13 years. You're in harmony on that. Good.
Yes.
All right. Been married how many years?
32.
32 years. Very youthful looking. And by the way, I gave a fun challenge because we have our missionaries in. We have some fun together, picnic and hang out. But otherwise, I mean, we're praying, we're testifying, we're raising funds, we're focused, we're ministering to them, and they're ministering to our students in our school. So, it's a serious focus time. So I decided to have some fun too. And I called up a brother in our congregation who's a certified public trainer and looks like a beast. He comes in 2 days a week just to work out with some of the leaders at Fire for fun. And I here and there may have mentioned. So I gave a challenge to our missionaries. I said, if you think you're fit or macho, I want you to join me on Tuesday for one of our one-hour workouts. Well, we got plenty of younger missionaries and some single men on the field and young married men, but only one. I know some of them left, but I got to get on them. Only one shows up, and he's 56 years old. He's a year younger than me. And Terry, you did it, man.
I did it, man.
Yeah. And are you sore at all today?
Oh, I am so sore, but I did it.
You did it. He did not quit. Persevered to the end, and that's the missionary spirit. So you've been out on the mission field, and then we got to know you, and you became part of our extended Fire family. Mm-hmm. What I want to do is this. I first want to paint a picture of the area where you've been. I know you're moving to another area of Mexico. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about how you got on the field. And then we hear about some of the violence and the drug cartels and the lawlessness. You've seen some of that firsthand?
Yes, we have.
You have. And you're still on the field?
Yes, we are.
All right. And the reports we're getting here in the States, I guess they're not exaggerated.
No, they're not.
All right. So we're going to talk about this firsthand, how they got on the field. And friends, you're running out of excuses. Well, God can't use me. I'm too young. We got young people on the field. God can't use me. I'm a single woman. We got single women on the field. God can't use me. My family's too big. We got big families. God can't use me. We're in our 50s or 60s. Well, you're running out of excuses, friends. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. I am joined by Terry and Karen David, part of our Fire family, missionaries in Mexico for the last 13 years. And Terry, during the break, you were just mentioning that you went on the mission field in your 40s. That it's not like you've been on the mission field since you've been 18. So you went on the mission field, even though the 40s is not, you know, I'm 57, you're 56, and Karen, you got to be somewhere in that mix. Hard to believe it looking at you guys. But I mean, we feel young now.
Yeah.
But to go on the field, someone in their 40s, I mean, that can seem a little old and intimidating. How is it that you first got stirred for the mission field, Terry?
Well, when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about missions fields, but it was just that I went to a missions conference and I just felt like God said, this is it. And so, you know, I got married and Karen had the same heart, but, you know, we got distracted. We went our ways, raised children, got a job, provided for family. And so, you know, it's like I did everything to quench that thing in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But then revival hit our church. And all of a sudden,
What do you mean by revival?
Oh, revival! The manifest presence of God came into the room. Healings, just a passion in my heart. Just kind of a burning in my heart like I never had before. Just kind of came upon me, and Jesus was my first love.
Yeah, that's what happens with it's restoring us to our first love, isn't it?
I didn't have that before. I had knowledge. I had, you know.
So you were in the church. Yeah. You were Christian. You're trying to raise your kids to be godly kids. We know your daughter. Jamie, mm-hmm. godly young woman, but the first love, yeah. that passion wasn't there. Okay, so your heart gets revived. What happens?
So I go to Mexico with a construction group out of Washington State, and I'm doing construction. And the Lord speaks to me and says, well, I want you doing this, but I don't want you building buildings. I want you building up people. And that was the voice of the Lord to me to say he wants me to be kind of like a pastor, go in the mission field.
So you felt more qualified probably to build buildings at that
point?
Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So now you're gung-ho, going to be on the mission field. You've been revived. How did you feel about that, Karen?
I was very surprised, and I'm thinking, you? Because I had never seen him do any ministering or any preaching.
All right. Hang on. So you're called to be missionary. We got to smash some of these myths and misconceptions. You're called to be missionaries, but yet you've never seen your husband do ministry work. I mean, obviously love people and serve and help.
Right.
All right. Did you believe him, or what was your attitude?
I had a bad attitude. I was quite surprised by that. I was like, I know we had been called to the mission field and I wanted to do it, but at that moment, I just couldn't see it happening in the natural.
All right. So how did your heart change?
Also with revival, the Lord just started to speak to me and restore my love for Mexico, restore my love for my husband, and to see him how he had planned for him and not the plans that I had for him or the plans he had for himself. But I began to see the plans God had for him.
All right. So if we are subpar spiritually, which I would say the vast majority of believers in America are, and many times in my own life, I have been in terms of not walking in the reality of the first love. So that can affect everything, affect our vision for the lost, affect how we see each other, even as husband and wife.
That's right.
Okay, so now you're both burning to go on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Mexico, and where you've lived most recently. Karen, you were painting a picture, and Terry as well, during the missions conference of some of what you see in terms of the violence. Mm-hmm. And friends, if you got little kids there the next minute, just going to be some pretty graphic descriptions, but tell me what you've seen in the last year in your neighborhood.
All right, you start, Karen, then you, Karen.
Well, what's happened to us as in our church, we had a young man only 16 years old, and he was abducted by the drug cartel, and they wanted money to get him back, and you know the family had no money. So they're looking around for people to pay to get him back. And so we, of course, he's like a child, our own child to us.
Yeah.
Very important to us, our children in the church. And so we were definitely willing to give over the money that we used to support ourselves and to live on. and to get him back. And we were just praising God that we did get him back with that money. But the person he worked for was never returned and has never been returned.
And have you actually seen, Terry, the marks of violence on the streets?
I have not seen the decapitated bodies, but I have seen the blood on the ground and the police talking about to me. I've asked what went on here, and they've explained in detail that there are seven bodies mutilated, decapitated in this very spot, which is only like a mile and a half from my house.
Are you afraid?
No, I'm not afraid. You know, we're cautious, but I have a peace that I'm still supposed to be there. I feel it's the voice of the Lord to me that to stay where I'm at. Because I feel that if you're in the middle of God's will, you're probably, no matter what it looks like on the outside, you're probably the safest place to be in. So that's how I feel.
How about you, Karen? Are you afraid?
No, I'm not. I'm not. And very many women are very surprised that I'm not. Everybody says, aren't you afraid? I'm not afraid. I have so much peace of the Lord in me that I'm just going to do what I'm going to do as long as the Lord is with me.
Do you think that's because you're just a tough woman by nature?
No, I think that's because the Holy Spirit has made me tough. He is with me, and I know He is with me, and I have total peace in what we're doing. I know what we're doing is right.
And friends, you know, I'm looking in their eyes. I heard them share. I saw the joy in it. One of our missionaries in China was sharing with us yesterday. We had a caller at Mercy. We couldn't use her actual name on the air. That one time there was the pastor and others were being interrogated in a house church, and they were hiding in another room, and then they knew they're going to be back with further interrogation. And I asked her if she was afraid, and she said actually she had so much joy it started to irritate the others until the joy spread to them as well. So, I mean, it could be very intimidating, and mm-hmm. there's a real devil there to say that's going to be you. You see that blood in the street, that's going to be you. And yet, you know, if God's called you, that He really is with you. And Jesus says, I'm with you always to the ends of the earth. He really means it. So, Terry, what's the main work that you've done? I know you're going to be relocating to work with some of our other missionaries that we actually had on earlier in the week, the Pricer family. But what's the principal work you've been doing so far?
Well, we've planted about three churches in general, and we've raised up leadership in that sense. But, you know, I'm more of a pastoral kind of a guy. And my heart is that the Mexican people who seem to be so downtrodden and they don't know their identity, I want them to know their identity in Christ, whether they're in leadership or not. I want them to rise up and be who they're supposed to be in Christ. And that's really my focus pastorally. And we try to do everything we can to just to let them know that you can do anything in Christ, that you're powerful in Christ, that you're a king, you're a priest, you're all of that, and to start to act like it.
So here you had not done preaching ministry before. No. Now you've planted three churches and raised up leaders. And Karen, he's telling the truth. Are these churches doing okay?
They are doing great. Lots of restoration.
Yeah, there's not one just person in these churches. They're filled. So mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
And what's the spiritual climate where you are? What cities have you? Can you share where you've been in Mexico? Is that okay?
Or? Yeah, we've been in Monterrey, which is really violent right now. The state of Michoacan is very active with the drug cartel. It's called the 1040 window, Mexico. We talk to other missionaries that know about Michoacan, and they just kind of shake their head and say, "You're in a real tough place."
So it's kind of an unreached part mm-hmm. of Mexico.
Yep. Yeah.
And I want to talk about more what the Lord is doing, but just trying to understand these dynamics. What has caused the tremendous increase in this drug-related violence to the point that either the police have to be in cahoots with the drug cartel to survive, or else they're going to be killed? I mean, it seems so lawless and extreme. Obviously, it hasn't always been like that. What's happened to create this environment?
Well, I think that the government has finally raised up itself to attack it, and it's just kind of prolonged it. And I think that people are getting tired, and there's not many of them just don't want to stand up anymore because there's just their families are getting destroyed, their businesses are getting destroyed, and there's quite a fear factor in there, and so they just kind of want to hide their head and not confront it like it should be confronted. So.
Can the gospel really make a difference in the midst of an environment like that?
I think so, because I believe the gospel transforms. It transformed my life, it transformed those around me, and it's transforming those that are within our churches, their families. And I think that the gospel is not only supposed to transform families, but it should transform society.
And Karen, as you've been there, we've just got about 45 seconds before the break. But the spirit of faith that's in you, has it been contagious for the other women too?
Definitely. Definitely. Because they'll ask me, you know, I'm like their mama. So they'll ask me, well, how do you feel about this? And so I'm able to preach to them and share with them how I have the Lord with me, and so I am protected. And so keep reminding them to stay in that relationship with Christ so they will not have that fear and not allow an open door to the enemy to bring in fear.
Yeah, and friends, what works on the mission field certainly works back here.
Yes, it
does. In America. I mean, if it works in America, it works in the mission field. But if they can live this out, some of you are in some pretty rough areas, some of you are under threats, some of the devil's trying to intimidate, you've got to realize that the same Jesus is Lord right where you live. If you'll take hold of him, friends, you can walk in faith and you can make a difference rather than being paralyzed by fear and the lies of the enemy.
Of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am joined by Terry and Karen David, some of our Fire family missionaries in Mexico. I haven't been giving out the phone number because I just want to talk to our missionaries and let you hear their stories and be encouraged by them. To find out more about who they are and what they're doing, go to fire-international.com. .org. That's fire-international.org. We can't post all of the details of where a lot of our workers are because of sensitive parts of the world, but these are all part of our family. Hey, speaking of family, something special happened with one of your grandkids at the missions conference. We raise funds publicly, openly. We'll say, okay, we've got this family here. They need to increase their support by $500 a month. Can we get 10 people to pledge $50 a month? And we'll all do it. We all throw ourselves in joyfully in doing that. It's just a public way we do it. We watch the Lord move. And as funds are being raised, there's a little voice from the back, $10. Karen, what happened?
That is Judah, our 8.5-year-old grandson, our oldest. And he just gets excited about missionaries. That's all there is to it. And he has a small, very small amount of money that he raises in his own home. His allowance, and his first allowance, he was saving it up for something special. But when he heard about this missionary, his hand shot up and he says, I'm getting that to that man. I don't need it.
That's the environment I'm in. That's what our kids are doing. That's their heart, and makes a grandparent proud, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right, Karen, what about the importance of praise, worship, as far as thriving in the Lord, walking in the Lord? What's the importance of that in our lives?
Okay, I could not live without praise and worship, but for me, it's all about praise and worship. It's that connection. It's that personal relationship with Christ. He really wants us to get out of thinking about ourselves all the time. You know, we get sad and we get depressed, but he wants us to just praise him, and that's for us. It's just give all our heart to him, give all our dance, our song. It's all about serving him and praising him and thanking him. And it just totally turns the mindset around from thinking of the circumstances that we're in to giving total praise to God for being with us and taking care of us.
And has that been a lifeline for you on the mission field?
Yes, it totally lifeline. I couldn't survive without it.
And have you seen examples, Terry, of divine intervention when you've been out? Just heard an amazing story from Ukraine. I wonder if the same God is at work in Mexico as well.
Yeah, there's a point when you go across the border. It's called the 25-kilometer border, and everyone has to go through there. It's about 25 miles from the main border. But we were driving one time, and we went through this checkpoint, and there was not a soul around. There was not cars coming through, people walking around. And it's a very congested area full of action, soldiers, everything. And
So nobody?
Nobody. It was like a ghost town. And we were just going, this is so strange. What is happening here? And so we just kind of got, we better get out of here. So we kind of put the foot to the metal and got out of there. But, you know, we're thinking back, and I think the Lord intervened, and either he transported us or he did something, but hit us or whatever the case may be. But I believe that there was something that happened very supernatural at that moment to keep us out of danger.
That's wild.
Yeah, it is.
An empty checkpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
And there
wild.
Was no cars with us, no cars coming towards us.
No car in either direction.
Either direction.
No. And it's only a busy checkpoint.
Oh, you'd be amazed.
You're never alone.
And nobody to stop you.
No one's stopping us.
Amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
It was wild.
All right. When I asked you if there was anything you wanted to say to our listeners, Terry, there was one specific thing, and I think it's relevant, and I want you to share your heart with my listening audience, recognizing that most of the folks that subscribe by podcast and listen online, the demographics might be a little younger. Most of those who are listening live on radio, even though we have all age ranges, demographics are a little older for perhaps the bulk of our listening audience. So I think what's on your heart's relevant. So take a minute or two and give a word of encouragement to my listening audience.
Well, I sure can. This is for those of you that maybe have lost your dreams in God, where you might have thought you're going to do something for Him or go somewhere, or your dream has not been fulfilled. For many years, I just kind of put that on the back burner and basically tried to do everything to get rid of it. But you know, at the age of 44, God touched my heart. And I went into the mission field, and I've been in the mission field now for 13 years. And it's just been, and still full of passion, still full of joy. And the thing that I would like to say too is you know, is God is never late.
Mm.
You know, if he has a calling on your life, He's going to get your attention. And if you feel like you've lost that call or that purpose that you had for in God, God can revive that and bring it about. And I just encourage you guys to seek the Lord and recapture those dreams, recapture those visions that He's given you, because they were from God, and He wants you to put you where He wants you to be put.
And 30 seconds, what should they do right now, today?
Oh, man, just establish that relationship and praise them and prayer, and just whatever they're doing right now, begin to represent Christ wherever they're at.
Got it. Yeah, you start where you are. You start where you are, friends. Yep. Don't worry about 10 years down the line. And don't worry. I mean, we're working out yesterday, Terry. You're in great shape. You know, you're looking good. But someone may be 100 pounds overweight. Well, it's an ounce at a time.
Exactly.
It's a pound at a time. Start where you are, friends. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. And say, God, I want my life to count. Mm-hmm. I spoke at Billy Graham Chapel Service, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, the chapel service today, and I quoted Leonard Ravenhill, mm-hmm. who always used to say, and it's on his gravesite, are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? Look at your lives, friends, and ask, is there more? If so, go for it. Here and now, do what you know how to do. Do what your hand finds to do, and God will bless you. And friends, I want to urge every one of you to get involved with us. As straight as I can talk to you, I want to sow something into you. I want to be generous with you, and I'm asking you to be generous with us. My book, The Real Kosher Jesus, wonderful life-changing reviews continue to come our way on a regular basis. We are now in the early stages of getting the book out in Hebrew for free distribution to believers in Israel. Our ministry has the hardcover version that was specifically printed by the publisher for us. It's only $25 plus postage, and that's an unsigned copy. I'm going to sign it to you or to whoever you ask me to sign it to as my gift to you for your gift of any size. Stand with our missionaries that are on the front lines. Stand with us as we broadcast here in America and around the world and try to stir the hearts of God's people. You know the benefit the program's been to you. So the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. You say, I don't have much money. You don't worry about it. Those with more will give more. Those with less will give less. Give what you can. Everybody do what you can to get behind us and to get behind our missionaries. And I will send you, as my personal thank you to each of you, a signed hardcover copy of The Real Kosher Jesus. The number to call, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, pick up the phone and call now, 1-800-278-9978. Our team is waiting to hear from you, and I will eagerly look to sign that book and send it to you in these next few days. My bottom line today, when you look at the Word, what you find is clear. It's not the super gifted, the super educated, the super qualified God is looking for. He's simply looking for people who put their lives on the altar as living sacrifices and say, Lord, send me.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it has been an amazing week so far. Oh, 2.5 days, so we're finishing our third day with our missionaries from around the world. I'm stirred, I'm blessed, I'm encouraged, and I feel like, well, even though these are not grandkids to us, I feel like a grandparent showing off pictures of the grandkids or talking about their latest exploits. I'm so thrilled to see what God is doing through these men and women of God, spiritual sons and daughters, part of our fire family, going out, making a difference, young, old, married, single. Friends, as the week goes on, whatever excuses you might have as to why God can't use you, they're evaporating because we're hearing from people from every walk of life. My last guest, when he told his wife he was called to the mission field in his 40s, married at that point like 20 years or so, and he was called to preach and minister because God called him to, she was a little skeptical because she had never seen him do those things. Then they go to Mexico, planted churches, 3 churches successfully, and in the midst of heavy drug cartel danger, without fear, doing the will of God. Friends, that means God can use you. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on the Line of Fire. Before I introduce my next guest, who's doing an amazing and unique ministry himself, the beginning of the first hour, so an hour and a half ago, I shared a few brief comments about the upcoming elections. I have not been talking about that at all this week, didn't even have a comment after the presidential debate on Monday night, made no comments about that yesterday. We'll have plenty of time to get kingdom perspective on things next week and talk these issues through and air some things out so that we can find unity in Jesus and joint purpose in Jesus in the midst of the divisive election season that we are in. But I did say a few things, and I want to repeat one and also share something else. I spoke this morning at the chapel service for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, a great honor and privilege to do that. And after the chapel service, I then spent some time with the chief of staff, who's also a Jewish believer with a similar background to me in many ways. And we were talking about the controversy surrounding the removal of Mormonism as a cult from the Billy Graham website, and it was subsequent to Mitt Romney meeting with Billy Graham. First, Billy Graham does not know what's on the website. He's not there putting up social updates on Facebook and tweeting people. I assume you know that, but just so you do, as he's 93 years old. But there is not a cult list on the Billy Graham website. There is not a list of all the different cults, and now they remove the one from Mormonism because they want to stand with Mitt Romney. That's not what happened. A senior leader in the organization spotted this. Wait, how come we've got something about Mormonism here? We don't have anything about any other cults because that's not what the website is for. They haven't changed their view on Mormonism. It has nothing to do with the fact that Mitt Romney visited. It has to do with the fact that they spotted a section just on Mormonism. They don't have stuff about all the other cults, but not Mormonism. They didn't have anything about any others, so they pulled that simply because it was inappropriate for the larger purpose of the website. That's all. It was not saying we don't view Mormonism as a cult. It was not making a statement about that, nor was it saying, well, because we're praying for Mitt Romney, therefore we're pulling this. So there's been a lot of misunderstanding. Their mission, their vision remains, of course, exactly what it has always been. Also, I want to remind you that the elections are important, and I am a devoted American, but there is something beyond being a devoted American, and that is being a devoted disciple. So the highest value we have is not so much God bless America and make us bigger and better, but God, your kingdom come to America and transform us into your kingdom image. We come back, I'm going to introduce you to a unique gentleman with an amazing ministry that is actually touching our missionaries around the world.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Missions takes on lots of different forms. Ministry takes on lots of different forms. There are a lot of hurting, broken people that need to be put together. And many are on the front lines of ministry that have some deep needs or that God wants to make more healthy spiritually. And there's a dear couple, grads from our ministry school, that are serving in America and going around the world ministering to our missionaries. And it's a delight to have join me on the air, Braverd Buckwheat. Hey, Braverd, aside from having one of the coolest names out there, you've got an amazing ministry. Where are you located right now, Braverd?
I am on I'm in Toronto, Canada, speaking to you. We're at a Partners in Harvest conference. John and Carol are not pastors' convention, so we come up to meet with some of their pastors and leaders up here.
Okay. So you and your wife, Donna, came to our ministry school. What years?
2001.
2001. All right. And how did being in the school impact your own lives?
I think probably the, Dr. Brown, probably the number one impactful thing, how it impacted our lives for me personally, was that all I knew was God said to go. And the quality of the leadership, the environment that you and the rest of the leaders provided for us was a safe place to grow, safe place to mature, and a really a safe place to allow what was in us, but most of us don't know what's in us, to come out. And thus you see the 20-some nations that FIRE has missionaries in all around the world, and it comes out of that type of environment.
Yeah, and Braverd, God began to introduce you to a ministry that put emphasis not primarily on physical healing, mm-hmm. and not primarily on preaching to the lost, but primarily on healing of people on the inside. First, let me ask you, Braverd, is this really a biblical concept, the concept of what some would call inner healing? I know that's too narrow a term, but is that really a biblical concept? Does the Bible talk about something like that?
Yeah, all through the Bible, and I think probably your book, Israel Divine Healer, talks about the greatest example of Exodus 15:26, where he says, I'm Jehovah Rapha, your healer. And it's not just a physical healing that God is wanting to do in a person's life, because there is so much emotional pain and pain to the wounds of the soul and of the spirit that go on. David, all through the Psalms, Dr. Brown, talks about it. Job says, Lord, my spirit is broken. David said, Psalm 142, he goes through and he says, Lord, he said, create in me a clean heart in the Psalms. And he always cried out, said, Lord, my soul, restore my soul. So there's references to not just the physical healings that are so desperately needed, but on the other side of that, that are just as important, is the healing and restoration into our spirit and into our soul.
Braverd, once we're saved, though, doesn't all that change? Once we're born again, doesn't the Bible say that all things have become new?
Yep, it absolutely does. And our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When we get saved, our spirit is renewed. But the on the flip side of that, Dr. Brown, is that the hurts and the wounds are not within the our spirit that one day will go to heaven. It's in the flesh, and it's in the mindset. Romans 12:1-2, the ungodly beliefs that we acquire and stuff like that. So it takes a surgical hand of the Holy Spirit to just begin to walk through that and to begin to bring healing into those areas that we need healing in.
All right, you've ministered to many ministers. You and your wife have ministered to many ministry couples. Have you ever seen people who are powerful in ministry, strong, pastoring churches, seeming anointed in their preaching, maybe genuinely anointed, and yet very broken and unwhole in their own lives or in their marriages?
Yes, absolutely. And we've seen all the time. I mean, you know, when we we get into pastors and leaders, we get into this place where we just do what we do, but yet on the inside, a lot of times there's a brokenness. We learn to cope with that as leaders, as pastors. Dysfunction in the marriage, emotional disconnected. What we like to call, Dr. Brown, is because of stuff's not taken care of and the busyness of ministry, and they get caught up in the busyness, is that husbands and wives begin to live what we call fraternal relationships instead of the biblical relationships of the two becoming one, not only in covenant at the altar, but the two becoming one in an intimate relationship, sharing not just the physical intimacy, but the emotional intimacy of that a husband and wife God created them to be. So
here they are. They're people can be ministering. They can seem to be dynamic. Mm-hmm. Everything, look, the church is growing. God's using us in ministry, husband and wife, and yet the marriage is dysfunctional.
Yep.
Yet the intimacy is gone, and there are different aspects of brokenness. What types of things have you seen in people's lives, either fears or addictions, and yet these people are on the front lines of ministry? What have you actually seen firsthand as you've spent days ministering to these people?
Right now in our sphere, I believe it's probably a conservative level of what we see and what the ministry sees, is right now 6 out of 10 pastors and leaders are struggling with internet pornography. And I would say that that's a conservative level. And what that produces, Dr. Brown, is it produces a great amount of shame in their life. It produces a great amount of disconnected with their connectedness with their spouses. And it really sets them up to what we see. And I know that, you know, in the sphere that you run in, and some of the horror stories that we see out there, is we become disconnected with our spouses, and that is the number one place of ministry that we should be doing. And it just sets us up to, all of a sudden, we become connected with somebody else, and then all of a sudden, one day, they realize, going, what happened? What did I do? I just made the greatest mistake of my life. And then we get them for a week, and we sit down and try to help them through that. Or we, hopefully, it, we get them before you know, anything, you know, adultery or anything like that is done.
Yeah, and look, there is a real enemy out there.
Yes, there
and
is.
Obviously we have to open doors ourselves. We can't blame the devil, but there is attack.
Right.
There is temptation. Things are different now than they were. Look, there are things every day that come in our junk folders and our computers are available on websites that 20 years ago, if someone was looking for it, they didn't know where to find it. Now it's knocking at their door. Bravery, you've seen people where when you minister to them, there are different things that are connected. Maybe the way they were raised, they have wrong ways of thinking about themselves, maybe demonic strongholds, and you have a holistic approach to this ministry as you've been trained. But let's focus on this area of ungodly beliefs, wrong mindsets. How prevalent is that, and what are some examples of this that you find?
Okay, if we're talking about, say, let's talk about the intimacy in the marriage. Most of us deal with some form of abandonment rejection. Physical is easy to spot. The emotional part of it is a lot harder to. And so in the line of ungodly beliefs, which God commands us to renew our mind, you take the marriage situation. My wife and I, for example, we both come from horrific backgrounds, and she had a father because of certain dynamics and that she grew up in. She did not trust men, and it was a good reason that she didn't. I grew up in a situation where I had a father that was home, but he was gone, and a safe place, and because of a certain situation, I began to close my heart off to my mother, and I did not trust women. The ungodly belief was the most important woman in my life will not be there for me. And so we get married, Dr. Brown, and guess who's the most important woman in my life? My wife. And so there is a spiritual principle that because of she's now, I am in covenant with her, that I don't even know this is going on, Dr. Brown. This is all just, it's all subconscious, but yet I didn't trust her, and we didn't trust me, and we didn't know why we didn't trust each other. And that is very prevalent, and that's just kind of one example of how most people, pulpit ministries, pastors, all the way across the board, that scenario could fit and play right into their scenario, and I could change it 100 different ways.
Yeah, and friends, we're not talking about psychological mumbo-jumbo. We're talking about just like God made our bodies to function certain ways, He made our spirits, our minds, our souls to function certain ways, and when we get these things messed up, they can destroy everything. We get them fixed right. Wholeness, restoration comes.
It's fire we want, for fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We have missionaries, as you know, all around the world, 20-plus nations serving amazingly for the Lord. Philippines alone, we have 11 couples and all their kids and 5 singles. So the work is expansive, grads from our ministry school. But we also have some folks who are based in the States, but they'll travel out sometimes several months at a time, ministering around the world and even ministering to our missionaries. And I wanted to include that this week, a very special couple, Brayford and Donna, who are great examples of the things they preach as they're living them out. I won't be able to take any calls, so sit back and just enjoy the rest of this interview. Brayford, as you've spent time ministering to folks, you're talking about spending days with them, praying with them, speaking with them, getting into the Word, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal issues, problems, and especially doing it to ministers and to people on the field. Do you often find that they had a problem they didn't know they have, but once they realize it and resolve it, they're different people?
100% of the time, Dr. Brown. Most of the time... they'll come in and either people understand and know, they say, hey, I've got some stuff or I've got some blind spots and I need some help. But 100% of the time, I could say that people sit down, and especially in the areas of ungodly beliefs or in the areas that going, I didn't realize that affected me. And they would, and one common thing where they would say is, I didn't realize that the way that I viewed and the judgments that I had toward my God or towards my father affected my relationship with God, because I viewed God the same way as I viewed my father. And that's a whole other story that you go into and try to deal with on that.
Yeah, and hasn't that been an issue with many atheists, that father issues have ultimately been the thing that have caused atheism as they've grown up?
Yes, absolutely. 100%, yep.
Yeah, I mean, you see these things commonly. And then there... wounds to our soul and our spirit. Okay, I can know, let's say I had an injury when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Let's say this didn't happen. I was in a car accident and I got injured, and because of that, I walk with a limp. We can understand that physically. Does the same thing happen to us spiritually?
Mm-hmm. When hurts, when we get hurts of the soul and of the spirit, and especially around trauma, around different abuses, physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, and different things like that. With the physical abuse, Dr. Brown, it's very evident to see it. It's saying, oh, okay, that guy walks with a limp, or he's got a broken arm or broken cast. But because of the protective mechanisms that we have, we basically say if we've got the fruit, we've got the root, and we cover it up really well. It's real easy for us because it's what we do, and to be able to see things, to spot things, but they are very detrimental to our walk with the Lord and our relationship with our fellow man, and that's one of the reasons why we want to do what we do and see people whole, is to get healed from that. So number one, their relationship with God, how they see God, their relationship with their fellow man, and their relationship with themselves.
Is it possible, we won't get into detail here, but is it possible for someone who is a believer, knows the Lord, has relationship with the Lord, to still undergo some aspect of demonic oppression. We won't take it further than that, but can you be a child of God walking with the Lord and yet have some demonic strongholds that need to be broken in your life?
Yes. In the four ministry areas that we deal with, basically what we do is we look for the fruit, and then we go to the root of the problem. And all four of those areas open the door, so to speak, to the enemy, because remember, the enemy, he only has what access that we give it to him. And it's not about us being saved or born again or anything like that, but it's in those areas that it opens the door to the enemy, and it creates strongholds in a person's life. And that is exactly probably the best way to describe it. They have a stronghold on us, and for whatever reason, whatever area, we just don't seem like we can get victory in that area. So
we're not talking about a witch hunt. We're talking about when you see there's evidence, okay, I'm fighting depression and suicide constantly, or this overwhelming lust or anger, and I've prayed and I've cried out to God, and I don't seem to see the breakthrough. Then by the Spirit, God gives wisdom and often reveals that there are demonic areas. Obviously, we've got to repent and turn to the Lord, not open doors. But the work you're doing is not easy. And I know the challenges that you have when you've got to get in the trenches and pray with people and spend hours and hours and persevere. This is not just push a button, 1 second ministry. So we appreciate what you and Donna are doing. You have been a tremendous blessing to our missionaries on the field and to many others. So keep up the great work, and may the Lord use you in the States and around the world.
Thank you much, Dr. Ron.
All right, God bless. Friends, we are whole human beings, and God wants us to enjoy His wholeness. God wants us to enjoy His blessing, not just in our spirits, but He doesn't want you mentally tormented and emotionally tormented. There is a place of wholeness in Jesus. Oh, we're going to have battles all the days of our lives, and we have to resist Satan, we have to crucify the flesh, renew our mind. That's ongoing in our lives, but we can do it from the place of victory and strength. And this is just part of what we have now put into our school to help those that come through our school of ministry leave the school much more whole and strong than when they came in. They've got to be solid to come in. You've got to be a solid person to be accepted in our school to start. But often there are unresolved issues. We want those issues resolved so that folks can go out and really be world changers. And those who are out in the field, often they get beaten down or maybe never work through certain things that need attention. We're able to minister to them as well. But friends, give me your best year. Don't all end of the show. No. Give me your best year. And then I've got a closing word for you also. We need your help. Not just to be on this radio station as you're listening to right now. Generally, we need your help. But to help more of our missionaries through the years, by God's grace, we've sown tens of thousands of dollars into our missionaries. It's a high privilege that we've been able to do that. But we need your help to continue doing what we're doing and making an impact for Jesus in America, in Israel, and around the world. So I decided that I want to sow something generous on our end. My hardcover book, the hardcover you can only get through our ministry, The Real Kosher Jesus, a book that'll rock your world as you read it and change your perspective forever. The Real Kosher Jesus is a $25 volume hardcover, unsigned. Well, I'm going to sign it for you, or if you want to send it to someone, I'm going to sign it for you. We're going to pay the postage, and it's my thank you to everyone that sows any gift today into our ministry. Any gift of any size. You say, I don't have $25 or $30. Don't worry about it. Send what you can, all right? Others who have more will send more, and we'll make up the difference together. And we want to sow this book in. This is what I want to do to help bless you and to generate more funds for our missionaries and our radio broadcast. But you have to call to do this, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Signed hardcover version of The Real Kosher Jesus, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line for you, God wants you whole. If you're hurting, if you're bound, if you're oppressed, cry out to the one who made you, and He can set you free.